We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Go inside the world of an NCAA Division I athletics program. This is In the Bullseye with University of Buffalo Athletic Director Mark Allnut. Here's the voice of the Bulls, Paul Peck.
Well, hi, everybody, and we hope everyone out there in Bulls Nation is staying safe and staying busy, and that extends to you as well, too, Mark. I know even though under these circumstances you have been busy and the athletic department has been busy, give everybody an idea of what your sort of quote-unquote normal day is like right now.
You know, plenty of Zoom meetings. You know, how about that? Zoom meetings and emails and, you know, various communication, whether it's internal with the staff, communications with, you know, campus leadership. And even when you talk nationally with, you know, correspondence that we have on a daily basis with the Mid-American Conference. And then my role with the Football Oversight Committee, you know, obviously, you know, those discussions as we forge ahead, you know, through these times. So, as this all started, my initial concern was that of communication, you know, not being able to have that face-to-face communication with folks and your staff, not being able to have that daily interaction with student athletes. That concerned me at first, but now as I've become more adept at Zoom, notice the background behind me.
You are a Zoom master.
Yeah. Notice the background behind me, as I said, but honestly, it seems like, you know, we're over communicating, which is a good thing. You know, being able to, you know, have productive meetings, you know, through this format and other formats, and also just being able to really try to, I hate to use the word forecast, but with all the uncertainty out there, plan ahead for what, you know, the academic year of 2021 is going to look like for athletics.
So as you talk about it, those meetings are, because we're all in the same boat of really not ultimately knowing what the end game is here. So are those meetings sort of scenarios and projections and what ifs? Is that what a lot of these discussions for you, both locally, conference-wise, NCAA-wise, are sort of putting together the possibilities of what could happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there are, as you mentioned, there's some what ifs, but also too, we know regardless of what's going to happen that, you know, from a financial standpoint, you know, we all need to look for efficiencies, whether it's how we operate as a department, how the university operates, how the conference operates, and even from NCAA standpoint, news in terms of, you know, reductions that they're making and with their ability to operate to be able to have those reductions to be able to give back more to the membership. So, yeah, there is some what if scenarios, but we all know we need to do one thing is, you know, really look at how we operate and, you know, moving ahead for the, you know, short to intermediate term. You know, there's going to be some efficiencies that have to be made.
You know, that has opened up some interesting discussions that, you know, I know a lot of Bulls fans, if they're keeping up on some of the news reports over the last couple of weeks, have really thrown out some things that are much different. And let's start with something that happened, I think, really in the last couple of days, was some potential scenario of a basketball season that will have more conference games. Is that something that's coming from the MAC? And give everybody an idea why it makes sense and how that potentially could look moving forward.
Well, that's a good point there, Paul. I mean, as I talked about earlier, you know, just looking at ways that we can be efficient as a conference. So what's come out is not only the Mid-American Conference, but other Group 5 conferences from Conference USA to the Sun Belt to the Mountain West Conference and even the American Athletic Conference are looking at ways to, again, look at efficiencies in terms of how they operate as a conference, because at the end of the day, you know, revenue from the conference, if you make these efficiencies, you know, we have the ability to get that back, disperse that back to the institution. So, you know, we're looking at a variety of items that, you know, not only just basketball, but, you know, being able to touch all the sports that the Mid-American Conference sponsors, you know, whether that is championships, whether that's the, you know, conference play, whether it's, you know, how we operate. So, you know, being able to put some things out there that first and foremost, you know, make sense. Secondly, you know, are efficient. And at the end of the day, it's something that we feel comfortable that we can move forward with. So when you look at the basketball proposals that are out there about, you know, extending the conference season potentially from 18 to 20 to 22, you know, we have to look at it as, you know, does this make sense ultimately for the league? Now, it's something that has not been, you know, passed at this point in time. But, you know, ideally, we have to look at it in many different ways. You know, for the core of our institutions in the Mid-American Conference, you know, from a geography standpoint, they're very close. But then there's outliers like us, like Ball State, like Northern Illinois, that are further away. So the concept of a double round robin, you know, from a efficiency standpoint, again, from a cost, you know, might not make sense. But then also, too, when you expand the conference season, you know, you're going to reduce your opportunity for non-conference play. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's a certain number of guarantee games that that each institution plays. You know, the case for us here at Buffalo with, you know, the Big Four, you know, those are games that, you know, most of the time are played, you know, on an annual basis. So when you look at that, you know, that would take away opportunities for us to be able to look at, you know, some home and home type opportunities that might be able to boost our RPI or might be able to boost our net. How I look at it is, you know, the more conference play that you have, you know, that lessens opportunities for you to really build a portfolio when it comes to the NCAA. As I look at 2 years ago with the great run we had with that team, if we were, you know, playing a 22 game schedule at that time, you know, and say if something would have happened in the semifinals or the championship game of the MAC, would we have received a at large bid to the NCAA if, you know, we had four or less non-conference opponents? Who knows? But more than likely, probably our case wouldn't have been strong. So spend a lot of time on basketball, but we're having those discussions through, you know, with all of our sports in terms of what can be done. And I said before, it's not just the Mid-American Conference, you know, other Group 5 conferences are looking at those opportunities.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to follow up with you about. You know, John Steinbrecher, the commissioner of the MAC, has, you know, been out in front of this coalition, for lack of a better word, of the Group of Five teams. And I know, again, something that happened the past week was sort of going to the NCAA and saying, hey, we as a group operate a little differently than the Power Fives do. It was almost like, don't forget what our challenges are. Can you take everybody through how that coalition has sort of evolved and what you see as Buffalo's role in trying to make the NCAA understand what your challenges are?
Sure. You know, I think it's just an opportunity to look at some certain parameters that are out there from a FBS membership standpoint, you know, to be able to, especially during these uncertain times, as it pertains to, you know, obviously financially, how we operate. Are there some certain, you know, legislative guidelines that are out there that we follow that might be loosened somewhat, you know, for a temporary period of time? And you know, you saw the recommendations that were out there from the group of five commissioners to Dr. Emmerich, you know, whether it's the sports sponsorship piece, you know, being able to look at that. Now, that's something at Buffalo that, you know, I'm not interested at all, you know, in terms of looking at sports sponsorship. We're at a good number. And, you know, we went through that exercise 3 years ago. But, I mean, that's an opportunity for sports to be able to look at that. You know, the opportunity from a FBS membership in terms of minimum attendance for games, you know, being able to lessen that that guideline somewhat. So, you know, institutions aren't necessarily buying their own tickets and then throwing them out there to the community. You know, that could be some savings there. You know, looking at summer school, you know, how we operate from that standpoint. So, you know, there's some guidelines that are out there that, you know, the commissioners want the NCAA to look at, and, you know, whether they agree or not. I mean, this just, again, from a group of five standpoint, just opportunities for us to help, you know, during, again, these uncertain times as it pertains to how we operate financially.
I want to ask you about football, because, again, that's something that people are starting to think ahead of, and there's a lot being written and said about the potential scenarios of the football season. Will it start on time? Will it be conference games only? Will it be pushed back? Will it be played in front of fans or not in front of fans? Can you give everybody an idea where you stand on some of those, or how deep you've gotten on some of the discussions as it relates to, you know, whatever could be happening with the start of the football season?
We should have clarity on that, in my opinion, by the end of May, in terms of what that looks like. There's so many factors, again, in regards to that. What we've talked about is putting together models where, if we're able to get the green light and play, and again, you know, all this is going to depend on where individual institutions are in terms of this pandemic, where individual states are with this pandemic. So we're talking optimal here. If you can just have a broad paint stroke with a brush and everyone is back to normal, say July 15th, okay, that, you know, students are allowed to come back on campus, and understanding there will be some social guidelines, social distancing guidelines that are out there, and everything else associated with this pandemic that we have to adhere to.
But Mark, is it going to be predicated on campuses will have to be open and available to students before any athletics can come beyond that?
And I was going to get there. You know, that's going to be key. That was my comment I made. You know, obviously it's up to the individual institutions and states. It would be very difficult for campuses to be closed to students. And I say completely closed, okay? And in order for student athletes to come back on campus, I think it'll be very difficult. Now, you could have campuses out there that are operating on the 50% in-person and a 50% remote basis, but they still have some of their support services that are open and available for student athletes, you know, the housing and the dining and what have you. You know what, I think in that case, that gives us an opportunity to be able to come back and to campus and potentially prepare for that. So as I was going back before, is if we're able to do that, with a lot of campuses being operated remotely this summer, you know, that prohibits the opportunity for student athletes to come back in the summer. So if there is any type of green light given, and again, the green light's going to come from, you know, particular states, if those guidelines are loosened and there's a comfort level for those states. And then more importantly, it's going to fall in the hands of campus leadership, you know, the presidents, the chancellors out there, that there's a comfort level to open their campuses and allow, you know, these type of activities. But if everything is green lighted, as I mentioned before, you know, what does it look like in terms of, you know, having 6 weeks available to prepare for a season? It might be 5 weeks to prepare for a season. It could be 4 weeks to prepare for the season. You know, once we start the season, I mean, do we look at, hey, let's have a normal season that's going to include your non-conference and conference games and just see what happens and hope there's no reoccurrence of this virus come, you know, November, December, when the winter months are upon us. I mean, do we look at, with that understanding, do we look at having a conference season only and then being able to prepare for a championship, bowl games, and whatever the case might be? You know, there's talk about, does it help if we push the season back to October or possibly November? And again, that's going to be based on where we're at as a society, you know, and in particular where campuses are. You know, I have concerns, you know, either way, you know, especially if there's a reoccurrence of the pandemic, you know, if we're able to start in October, November, and you know what, something was going to happen, we have to shut down business as we did this past spring. That does us no good. You know, there's talk of spring football. Maybe, you know what, there's no athletic activity. And you know what, we do everything in the spring. Well, you know what, we could potentially do that, but still, that's a lot of work to happen. A lot of questions there in regards to, you know, the health and well-being of our student athletes and those type of opportunities. So, you know, we'll see where we're at. It's, as you can imagine, Paul, I mean, I just spit out, you know, yeah, various scenarios here. And,
right.
And, you know, it's like, you know, you're constructing your own playbook right now.
It is.
Know, as
yeah.
We, as we go along, you know, you're diagramming new plays yeah. and seeing if it works.
Lots of audibles. You're doing lots of balls. I want to ask you a football.
Lots of Omahas.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask you a football related question. And you brought this up, and this is something that I've thought about a little bit. In your discussions with Lance Leipold, has he mentioned to you the fact that with a background at the Division III level, he's used to not having all of the off season stuff that we have in Division I, the spring football, the off season workouts? His Division III roots were essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, the guys showed up in August and they were ready to play in September. Does that become an advantage potentially?
You know, I wouldn't say an advantage. What I would say is just that from experience standpoint, he's experienced that. He's used to it. We've talked numerous times, you know, about that. There's a comfort level with him in regards to, hey, if we were to start the season with 4 weeks, we can get it done. Now, we would have to be very smart in terms of how, you know, acclimatization process with our student athletes in terms of, you know, making sure that from a conditioning standpoint that they're ready to go. It wouldn't look like a normal preseason as before. I mean, the first 2 weeks of it might just be conditioning, and then hey, week three, you know, you get the helmets on, then the shoulder pads, and then the full pads. Then week four is, you know, that's game week. So it would be quite different, but you know, that is an opportunity that lies out there, and something that, again, with Lance and other coaches that might have those backgrounds that they're familiar with. And again, if that was the only option we've had, we would have to find a way to make it work. Not optimal, but we would have to move forward that way.
All right, I want to wrap up with you with some positive news that came this week, which was the ability for the National Letters of Intent to go back into action. We saw basketball, both men's and women's at UB, sign some players this week. So where did that figure in, that decision figure in, and how exciting is that we do get a chance to think ahead to the next generation of Bulls?
Well, you know, that was a move by the NCAA to put a moratorium, so to speak, on offering scholarships and offering aid to April 15th, which I thought was very good as we're all going through this, you know, not having particular schools to, you know, to focus on that at this point in time. So, you know, for that to be able to happen and for us to be able to, you know, sign these prospective student athletes, you know, that's a good thing as we continue to build our programs. And the other thing, you know, that I commend our coaching staff, you know, for their creativity in terms of how they sell their programs, of how they share, you know, the great things that we offer here at the University of Buffalo and the community, is, you know, how we're recruiting student athletes. You know, in addition to that moratorium on NLIs and financial aid through April 15th, there's a dead period. So it's not your typical recruiting process. You know, our coaches can't go out on the road to either evaluate talent or even to have contact with talent. Student athletes can't come to campus to physically just be able to see campus and be able to interact with, you know, our coaches face-to-face, or support staff, administration, what have you. So, you know, our coaches have been very creative in terms of how they reach out to recruits, how they sell our program. And that's something that we have to be very adapt to because, you know, we don't have that ability. So we're able to sign prospective student athletes now. And as of now until May 31st, I mean, there's no contact. And even from a larger picture too, our university, like others, you know, when we talk about the enrollment process, you know, everything's gone virtual as well. I mean, we have, you know, obviously students who are, you know, applying and being accepted to the university where normally, you know what, they would come to campus for to get more of a feel of campus to make that final college decision. Well, you know, they don't have that opportunity now. So the great job that our university has done is being able to make that virtual, you know, to be able to have those virtual tours, be able to have that information, you know, for the various colleges like we have in athletics to be able to share with prospective students. And even as far as you know, like orientation for students who have made that decision to come here, I mean, that's all going to be virtual. So, you know what, we fall suit in athletics and understand that we have to take advantage of the world that we live in and be able to communicate to the best of our ability, you know, what we have to offer here at UB. And hopefully at the end of the day, that's something that's going to be very beneficial for us.
All right. Hey, appreciate the insight as always. It's cool to get a little insider's view on all of the things that are floating around right now. Lots of what ifs and possibilities. And I know you've got a handle on all those. Best to your family as always, and stay safe. And we'll catch up with you again next week. And I'm sure there'll be 20 or 30 other things that have happened in the meantime. But Mark, as always, appreciate the time and the insight.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Stay safe, my man.
All right, you got another edition of the In the Bullseye podcast.
For more information on the athletics program at the University of Buffalo, visit ubbulls.com/podcast. This has been In the Bullseye, a proud presentation of Bulls Digital.